In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Psalm 71, verse 18 reads, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to everyone who is to come." Amen. Our topic today, we're going to finish this teaching series here on Forward and Upward. This is part 7. Today's topic is From Strength to Strength. Say, from strength to strength.
From strength to strength.
Amen. Now, the text we'll use for today is actually Psalm 84. But I wanted to read Psalm 71 because it fits in this way. As David said, "When I'm old and gray-headed, O God, don't forsake me." But the reason he said was that I may declare, or until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to everyone who is to come. That's good. So then there is a purpose in life at every stage of life. When you get older, you have really a lot more to give. You have reached the summit of your understanding, your knowledge, your wisdom, your skills. And you know more when you're older than you ever obviously knew before. Not just know more, but you've got the accumulation of experiences that build wisdom. So you know not just know about things, but how things work. Which is more important than knowing about things. How things work is more important than knowing about things. But he said here that I want to be able, when I'm old and gray-headed, he said, I want to declare your strength to this generation. And I find myself doing that. Now, I didn't read the scripture. I've read it before, but didn't notice it until a few days ago. But I've been doing this for years and years, especially my latter years. I've been spending a lot of time with young people and young men. I spend a lot of time, you know, one-on-one and talking to folks, encouraging people, all kinds of different ways, some ways of which you know, most you don't know. But this is what I do. I declare strength to this generation. Now, this generation isn't just the younger people. It's everyone alive with you. So you're sharing with everyone alive, young and old. But he says also, your power to everyone who is to come. Those are the ones who haven't come yet, who aren't born yet, who have been born while you were living. You know, when you're older, you see people born and grow up and become adults. And you get the opportunity to impart to them strength and power to those who are yet to come. And even those who you're helping today, that they'll be in position to help others after you're gone, right? So the point is, whatever you're sharing and teaching and giving out of your heart and your life through Christ, God's word does not return to him void.
Amen.
That's the point. See, whenever you put the word of God out there, it just keeps going and going and going. And you don't even know who it touches. Except that if you don't put it out there, your word, your message won't touch anybody. If you don't put it out there. So he says, I'm going to, you know, reflect on the fact of getting older, not just focus on the age, the number, and the gray head, but my purpose at that stage of life. That's his point he's making, not just of getting older, you know, because age is a number, just a number. That number that number can be viewed as an asset to some or a liability by others. Doesn't matter. The point is, what do you believe about what God has for you? Amen? Now, to our text for today, Psalm 84. I've read this and taught this before, but we'll teach it again. Psalm 84, verse 5. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca," which means valley of tears. "They make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion." Amen. And our topic today, again, is from strength to strength. drawing from the latter part of that text. Now, it is fitting to conclude this series on forward and upward with this text, because David shows us a man like us, a person like us, who had to press his way forward and upward in God through many, many trials, some of which were attacks of the enemy, some of which stuff he got himself into. All right, he got himself messed up sometime. Either way, he had to continue pressing forward and upward like we all do. So it's fitting we take this text today and also link it with the previous scripture, how that we want to declare strength to this generation and power to those who are to come. Now, also, it's Black History Month. We're finishing up February, and this is the shortest month. You know, it gave us the shortest month of the year. Nothing to that, I'm sure. Nothing to that whatsoever, I know, but at least we got a month, you know. And it's one day longer, you know, every 4 years, okay, so praise God. But in the bulletin, you see, again, my PowerPoint's not up today, but in the bulletin, you'll see that on the cover, I've got a picture there of Ruby Bridges. Ruby Bridges. My wife did an activity in her school for her students last week, and she created a little miniature classroom to tell the story of Ruby Bridges and had her children to learn about Ruby Bridges and to write their own little book and narrative and pictures about her. And if you don't know, Ruby Bridges is not one of the people who lived a long, long, long time ago. You know, sometimes we look at people and look at history, we pull up figures who lived a long time ago. Ruby Bridges was born 1954, so she's still living today. And her experience happened, you know, in my lifetime. And her experience in brief was simply that she and her family lived in New Orleans. They were still part of the Old South. Even though segregation had become illegal through the court case earlier, yet Southern states were still resisting desegregating schools. And it turned out that her mom and her dad wanted her to go to a school that was all white. Well, actually, her mom did. Her dad didn't, you know. But they felt like it was the right thing to do in the end. And the story you may have heard, that at 6 years of age, the court did mandate that the school had to accept Ruby Bridges as a student. And so she went to school with great resistance. And that's the sad part of it, is the parents who lined up. In fact, you see it in the picture I put in the bulletin. One girl's holding a sign that says, "Keep our schools white." Now, that wasn't that girl's idea, right? It wasn't the little girl's idea to hold a sign up that says, "Keep our schools white." That's the problem with racism, isn't it? This stuff is learned. But she had to have an escort, was escorted by officials to school every day, and was so bad until nobody wanted to teach her, and therefore a teacher who was from Boston became her teacher, and she was a class of one. And for the whole year, She was one student with one teacher in a classroom for the whole year and never missed a day of school. Though she went to school by herself all year, ostracized by everybody. And that's the basic part of the story. And, of course, her courage, her conviction as a child, and then, of course, her mom and dad's conviction to resist segregation, to break that wall down. It just shows you an example of what it means when the Bible here says we go from strength to strength, and when David said, "Blessed is he whose heart is set on pilgrimage." My point here is that a pilgrim is a trailblazer. It is someone who is going in a certain direction with purpose to leave a legacy. And so Ruby Bridges and really her parents and that whole community were trailblazers in that regard. In fact, the picture also, you see that she's with President Obama in that picture, looking at a painting by Norman Rockwell, made a landmark painting of Ruby being escorted by the officials to school. That was a tremendous picture he painted back then, great drawing, a painting actually. My point is, Ruby Bridges was such a person. And we all can be such people in one area or another where the Lord and you agree that I'm going to set my heart on pilgrimage. Lord, my strength is in you. It's amazing what you can do when your strength is in God. It's amazing to other people what you can do when your strength is in God. You'll surprise yourself at what God will do with you when you yield to him and you set your heart on pilgrimage. Amen. So today I want to teach this lesson and show you how that we go from strength to strength and let you see in the scripture how that we're going forward and upward because the Lord has ordained it so. And at a point in your life, then you can then give your strength to this generation. You can give power and empowerment to those to come. So it could not be possible that we live in this life just to enjoy life only. Now, I enjoy life now, but I'm not saying I don't live like just to enjoy life. In fact, in the past month, I've missed a lot. I've missed basketball. I missed the Grammys or the Emmys or whatever was going on. I missed it all. I heard that some entertainers are in trouble. I missed that. I've been missing a lot of stuff, you know, it's time in the Word and prayer and writing all this stuff. And I ain't missed a whole lot, actually. You know, I looked up. I'm not missing a whole lot. Little controversies and things. I'm paying attention now to what's happening in the real world. My point, though, is when you're on pilgrimage, when your heart is set on pilgrimage, then you're not just a traveler anymore. Now, a pilgrim is somebody who moves with purpose and with a sense of leaving a legacy for others. A traveler is just someone who's going along for the ride to enjoy the view. Now, they're both moving, but one person is on pilgrimage. Therefore, they want to make a difference. The other person is like a vacation, just traveling, want to see the sights. My question is, are you a pilgrim or are you a traveler? And I suggest that David was most certainly a pilgrim, not just a traveler. And I suggest that Ruby Bridges and all of those we recognize and we appreciate and we honor in this Black History Month, we honor pilgrims. We don't honor travelers. We honor pilgrims, amen? Trailblazers, people who did something and left a legacy behind them. And we do that today. That's my point to most everything I do. Now, let's look further here because as I was considering this text, in fact, I filmed an interview in a studio back there with Dr. Clyde Posley and Dr. Theron Williams. And it was Dr. Posley's show, and Dr. Williams from Mount Carmel was his guest. And Dr. Williams talked about a book he wrote called The Bible is Black History. Now that title will make you go, oh God, here we go. But it's not what you think. It's not at all what I thought. And he brought some things out that were very interesting. One of which was this. In our American Western European mindset, we think like this. I think, therefore I am. I think, therefore I am. But the African Hebrew mentality is different. It's more like I am because we are. I am because we are. And I'm nothing without my people. And that really is what the Bible talks about. You read the Bible, read the Bible in that light of, not of I think, therefore I am, but in the light of I am because we are in Christ, see? And then it becomes clearer why people do what they do. Because you can't get that crowd talking about I think, therefore I am to do much for anybody else. You can't get that kind of thinking be outside of what I want and what I think is right for me. But the people who have the mindset, I am because we are, always feel a connection and a sense of being vested in the people you're with, in your family, in your culture, and so forth. And therefore, you're motivated to want to make a difference. I spent some time yesterday, announced it last week as well, went out to Martin University yesterday, be a part of an event hosted, organized by Sabrina Suggs. Now, Sabrina, remember, was a keynote speaker at our mental health event we had back in October. And so she came and helped us and was very, very good. And I thought, well, how can I help her, you know? So my thought was, I met with her and said, what can I do for you? So she gave me a list of things she was doing. I said, well, let me pick this event here. I'm going to come and I'm going to film this event for you. I'm going to live stream it and film it for you. So I went there yesterday. Myself and Donovan Norris went there, and we filmed this event and live streamed it. It was a remarkable event. It was called Black. It was a Black History Month Youth and Family Wellness Celebration. Basically, it was about wellness under the banner of Black History, okay, and all that. And there was a lot of people in there. It was a health fair, basically. But it was very focused and a lot of good people in there. Matter of fact, what struck me was that these people in this place on yesterday were of the I am because we are mentality. You know what I'm saying? These are folk who were there sharing their expertise, talking about what they were, you know, what they were doing to help, whether it's veterans or older people or mental health, that these folk were there. Now, they were working as well. Some were, I realize that. The point, though, is you don't get into caring professions. You don't do that if you're about traveling. Only pilgrims go through special effort to do something to help somebody else. Only pilgrims make those efforts. Amen? So I'm saying all that to say what David is saying here in Psalm 84. Again, verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Let's look closer at this now, because I want you to get this and be blessed by this and realize this whole series and going forward and upward is designed to help us go forward and upwards. That's the whole point, amen? Not to stand still, but to go forward and upwards. Now, let's take this text and break it open, because verse 5, he says here, blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Well, God is our source. We know this. God isn't just our resource. God is our source. And because of that, we put our strength in his source and not in our resources. So we said to you last week about we don't have self-confidence. We have confidence in God, right? Because as Proverbs says, the fool raises in a self-confident. We're not foolish, right? So foolish people are self-confident. But those who have confidence in God, now that's smart, that's wise, that brings strength. So he said, first of all, blessed is the person, not blessed will be, blessed is the person whose strength is in you. Second, he said this, also in verse 5, he says, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Again, what is a pilgrimage? Now, in Jewish tradition, in the history of Israel, it's in the Bible, Old Testament, you see it, that a pilgrim was somebody who was moving on a mission for God. Specifically, pilgrims were people who were traveling to attend various Jewish festivals. They call them festivals or feasts. There were feasts, for example, Feast of Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits, Feast of Pentecost, and so forth. These were various occasions, special occasions, where people would gather. For example, a family reunion is kind of like that, right? You're on a pilgrimage to go to the family reunion. And so people gather, they travel. It isn't easy to get there sometime. And, you know, folk in the South want to go back south. I mean, y'all should go north, you know, in July. It seemed to me, you're going back to Mississippi, you know, and all that, that heat and everything. But that's your legacy. Eat, sweat, amen, you know. Good food, loving people, amen. Make it all worth it. But that's like a pilgrimage. So the Jews did that several times a year. Now, today you get to drive in your car. You get to fly down there. I mean, but to travel back then, a pilgrimage was a tremendously difficult thing. So your heart had to be set on it. Set not just on the travel, the difficulty of travel, but set on the purpose of why you're going, right? I mean, a long trip requires a commitment. Even today, a long trip requires a commitment. Because you got to know, why am I going? Why are we going to do this now? It's a long way. A lot of money. I'm losing work. People take their vacation time to go to reunion, which is no vacation, you know, many times. The point is, why do people do it? Because your heart is set on a purpose and on legacy. And so the reunion represents legacy. Represents legacy, doesn't it? Now, it says this. I read this in the commentary. Now, a traveler then would be somebody who's moving for pleasure. For pleasure. But a pilgrim is moving for purpose. And that travel to Jerusalem, which many cases where the feasts were, they were, you know, Israel's like a desert. Basically, it's desert climate. And it's the climate's rough and the terrain is difficult. The place is subject to drought and the raiders and evil people all along the way who knew you were traveling, looking for you to come through to try to rob you. It was a difficult thing to do. So your heart had to be set on it. So hence verse 6 says, as they passed through the valley of Baca, tears. This is the hard part. Because, you know, when you're traveling for purpose, almost any kind of travel, there is some difficulty along the way. And there's a valley of tears in purpose. When you're doing God's will, serving God, doing things, there are valleys of tears that you have to pass through. And you know it's coming, but you still have to set your heart for pilgrimage. Amen, somebody? When you sign up to do some training or you go back to school and such, you know it's going to be hard. But you still signed up because your heart is set on pilgrimage. But the valley and the other valley and the valley behind the valley, you know what I mean? All these valleys on the way through this thing. Valleys of tears. And the journey is difficult. So at that point, any travelers become unhappy. A traveler won't be happy. A traveler, I'm just going along with you for the ride, and this ride is not fun anymore. I'm out of here. That's the mindset of the traveler, the person, I think, therefore I am. I think I'm leaving now. You know what I'm saying? But that's what I'm thinking of now. Yeah. But when you are, see, when I am because we are, I can't quit.
All right.
I just can't. I just can't abandon my people. You know what I'm saying? No, it won't happen. See, it's not even a part of the equation. There's no word for that. In fact, some language, I forget the language, but there's a language where there's no equivalent word for can't. There's no word for can't in that language. I forget what it was, but they don't have can't in that language. You know. Well, we got it, our language. We got can't, won't, quit, complain, murmur, all that. Because I think, therefore I am. And that's very narrow. Now, let me go through this. So, all right, the Valley of Tears, but then verse 6 also says, they make it a spring. They make it a spring. They do something with it. So here are the valley of tears, but then they make it a spring. Now, what literally happened, in fact, one version says they make it a well or wells. They make it a well. The idea is that the travelers or the pilgrims did not just suffer through, but they suffered through it, realizing now somebody gonna follow me. And so I got to make sure whoever follows me has it better than what I had it. So then when they come to these places, this actually happened, that they would dig wells. They would dig a well, because most places didn't have water below, they had well water. There was water underground. You had to dig for it. A lot of these pilgrims would dig the well, in some cases to find water. Other cases, it was more of a cistern to gather water, either rainwater or heavy dew. Now, in that climate, the dew can be so heavy, if you had some water to gather, you can gather enough dew to have some water. Either way, that these pilgrims, they made it a spring. They made wells. They made provision. They made provision out of nothing. And that, so that whoever, the thing is, if you dig a shallow well for the purpose of filling it up with water from dew, guess what? You won't get any of that yourself. You won't benefit. If you on day one, if you dig a something here, a shallow well, to hope for rain to come and fill it, or for dew to put something in the bottom of it, you can sit that by it for 4 or 5 days before you see something. But guess what? You can't stay that long. You got to go. So that well you dug, that cistern, was not for you, but for the one who followed you. You follow me? That you're in the valley of tears, but you got the presence of mind to make it a well for somebody else. That's strong. You don't get that from I think, therefore I am. I think, and I got to find me something. I got to get out of here. But when you have the mindset, we are, therefore I am, then let me, if I don't get anything from this, I'm going to make sure somebody gets something out of this. I'm going to, you know, make every effort to leave a legacy so someone else can benefit from what I'm not going to be able to experience at this point. God will provide for me down the way, but back here right now, let me do something to make a provision for somebody else. You follow me? Amen. They make it a well. They make it a spring. And this is the value. This is where the legacy part comes in. As a traveler, you're concerned about, as a pilgrim, you're concerned about your purpose, going to where you need to get to and doing the will of God and so forth. But the thing is, as well, your legacy is on your mind. It is, what can I do for somebody else? Because it'd be miserable to get all through life and look back and think, all that was for me. Everything I did was for me. All the money I spent was just for my stuff. So that's not the way a pilgrim thinks. We think that in God's purpose, following Christ today as believers in Christ, we're going to leave something for the current generation. As David said, I'm going to impart strength to this generation and power to those to come. Yes. And power for those to come. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Amen. So we see this. We see this, of course, in Dr. King's speech. We, you know, the classic speech, the part that says, I've been to the mountaintop. I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but we as a people will reach, right? Remember that? That's exactly what he was thinking. That's how we think. That's how our parents thought, our grandparents thought. People who lived in times, we can't imagine the difficulty of times they lived in. And they did things realizing, I won't get a chance to experience this, but my posterity will. Amen. My children and children's children will. And that by itself can be a motivation for you. That can be a great motivation, because if you're not into I think, therefore I am, and you know, then you think, well, let me do something for somebody else now. I'm not going to get there. I'm not going to make it. Amen?
Amen?
Then it says this. Now, let's skip ahead to Isaiah 61. Turn there. So travelers can't do this stuff. Travelers don't have a mind to do this. They got no desire. you know. All they want is tea and crumpets and Starbucks and stuff like that. But no, I'm a, no, some of us pilgrims like Starbucks too. Okay, yeah. Amen. Except there was ain't no Starbucks in Africa. Amen. By this find a place, Eldoret, they got a coffee joint better than Starbucks. Yeah, a whole new mall went up. Like, this is America. This is the mall of America. They had a KFC in there. Grease and everything. You're going to mess them Africans up. They were doing fine until y'all showed up. All right. Now watch this. Here are some prophetic words. And this is what Jesus, when Jesus went into the synagogue and was handed the scroll of Isaiah, recorded in the Gospels in Luke, different places, this is what he read from. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So Christ read the first part of this. Now, interesting, here is Isaiah prophesying about Jesus Christ, who is most certainly our pioneer. I mean, Jesus even says in Hebrews that, you know, he actually went in before us, right? He went into the Holy of Holies before us. He most certainly fulfilled the role of a trailblazer, of a pilgrim. He went in to leave legacy for us, legacy of salvation and peace and joy, all the things you enjoy today. Jesus did all that for us. And so Isaiah, by the Spirit of God, is speaking of it right here in the scripture, Old Testament, that everybody could read. This is what Jesus read when he gave the book to him. And he said, he read that part and sat down and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. And that's what sent them off into a rage, that he claimed to be the fulfillment of that text that they all were aware of, Messiah, Messianic text. They were aware of it. Well, the thing is, thank God Jesus did that, because if he did not become our trailblazer and pioneer and pilgrim, we couldn't do anything for anybody whatsoever. We couldn't do anything for anybody if Christ didn't do it, what he did for us. He came to preach the glad tidings. Look what he said. He said, glad tidings to the poor. Now listen, y'all, what's good news to the poor? What is it? What's the message? Don't have to be poor. No more poverty. You can be blessed, come up out of being poor. He says, heal the brokenhearted. That's real. Things go wrong. We experience heartbreak. But God heals that. Those who are captive, he brings liberty, whatever captivity it is, whether it's bondage and sins and bad habits, whatever it might be. Whatever you're caught in, he can break you out of it. Amen? Opening of the prison to those that are bound. The year of Jubilee, which, by the way, that was, we know, the year of Jubilee was a celebration of every 50 years where people experience a debt release every 50 years. Problem is, that only happened once in your life. So, but Jesus said, I came to give that to you every day. I release you every day. I give you the power of release from debt and everything else every day. He came to bring it. He says, to console those who mourn. Mourning is a, you know, we mourn loss, and mourning has different levels and such. But he came to console those of us when we mourn. Beauty for ashes. Who does that? I got a fireplace. I can find no use for ashes. When I burn that wood up, that ash is going out into the, you know, throw it away. Some say you can put it, I guess you can put it in a gardening thing, whatever, you know, I guess. I don't garden, so for me, ashes have no value. But he says, I can bring beauty from ashes. Who does that? Who can do that? God, Jesus does that. He says, and the oil of joy for heaviness. Who can do that? Only God. You can be happy. You give me a big check, I'll be happy today. I'll be happy for several days. I'll be happy. Because, you know, money make you happy, you know. But what do you do when you don't have money? You won't be happy. But you can have joy. You can have joy until you become happy again. You know what I'm saying? Because happy is good. It's great to be happy. But you just can't count on it, you know. You just can't count. Can't depend on it. Look for folk that make you happy. They make you sad instead. You made me sad. Folk just break your heart sometimes. But the joy, the oil of joy, like oil for a lamp, you know, it's what makes that thing burn. It's fuel. It is fuel for the fire. And God will fuel your joy. He'll give you fuel for your joy. Amen? And so no matter what comes and what blows your way, my goodness, you're not going to have a problem with God. A friend of mine, he put a picture on Facebook. He said that the wind blew his patio wall down. I said, hey, man, but the grill's still standing. You know what I'm saying? The grill survived. You're going to make it. You know? I mean, look for the right things. You know, okay, the wall went down, but what's left? Just look for God. We love describing what's wrong. Yeah. And people will tell you what's wrong. Yeah. And they'll break it down for you, you know. Oh. Break it all the way down in great detail. Yeah. I know what's wrong. I'm looking for what's right. Yes. I'm looking for the grill. You know what I'm saying? The wall blew down. Where the grill? Give me the grill. The grill's still there. Amen. Go out and fix yourself, fix a hamburger. Fix something up for me. In the midst of the broken down walls, oil of joy does that. Oil of joy keeps you looking at the right things. Yes. Then he says, we become trees of righteousness. And we're the planting of the Lord. So all of this, I'm just sharing with you, encourage you, as you said, and they go, verse 7, and they go from strength to strength. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion, see? So there it is. When we are pilgrims, we don't go, now we may have begun in weakness. Hear me. We began in weakness. But when you go as a pilgrim, then you become strong. And then and then on, you go from strength to strength. You don't go strength to weak and weak to strength and back to weak again. If we stay with God, we go from strength to strength. Now, I will confess, sometime I have less strength, but it's still strength. Sometimes we have seasons of low motivation. That's a good way of saying I feel real bad. Just call it low motivation. A friend of mine, he didn't have it. A friend of mine did not have an alarm clock. He had an opportunity clock. Opportunity clock. I said, well, that's going too far. Now, that's an alarm clock, okay? Wake you up in the morning. The thing is, when you're a pilgrim, you get to go from strength to strength if you let nothing bring you down. Now, I read this in the first message in the series. No, actually, I forget the first one, but in the series, I brought you a presentation from Paul Scanlon, and he talked about strategies and how that we should not let drama and things bring us down, right? So the thing is, there's always something trying to make you weak. Even when God says, I'll take you from strength to strength, it's amazing how stuff come up to try to make you weak. Get you to bite on it. Because you really cannot become weak unless you just walk out of your strength, walk away from your strength. You can't be weak unless you walk away from your strength. Amen? So be careful of the things and opportunities that try to pull you out of your strength and into weakness. And the reason we do these devotionals, I mean, what I've offered to you this month is just one thing, but we all do devotionals. We should do devotionals of various kinds because it's your devotional time is where you renew your strength. Paul said the inner man is renewed day by day. Outward man perishes, right? But inward man is renewed. That's how you are strengthened, that you are renewed. And be careful that a day doesn't end so badly you cannot renew. Or it's hard to renew. You end your day with a fight with your wife. No, I say fight. You know, it's funny how when I grew up, no, when I got grown, people would say fight. You know, it didn't really mean fight. They mean argue. Where I come from, they actually fight, okay? No. Folk actually threw stuff, you know, fight. Fisticuffs and things. So we had a fight. No, we had an argument. But point is, these arguments can end your day and mess your next day up. You already messed your next day up. You got to wake up and you're like, you're hungover, you know. You got a hangover. You got a hangover from the argument last night. So that's why Paul said, don't let the sun go down in your wrath.
Right.
Don't deal with stuff before you go to bed. You know what I'm saying? Or don't start no stuff, won't be no stuff.
Right.
Another tip, okay? Because you got to take seriously what it means to be a pilgrim. When you're out there traveling in these desert places, I mean, we experienced the traveling. You saw the picture from going from Lodwar to Kakuma, you know, 100 miles on that road that was halfway a road, and the truck broke down six times and all that. It was weird. I was like, weird, man. Like, oh, my goodness. Now, the good thing was the guy knew his truck, you know. I realized he knew his truck, and he just hit it and did things and came back, started up again, you know. And then somebody stopped. My point is, but I was thinking on the way back, the sun goes down everywhere at night. So I'm like, we got to get back before the sun goes down. I'm like, when are we leaving here? Isn't it time to go now? I'm thinking they're all like, ooh, we're excited about Jesus. Hey, I am too. When are we leaving? Because we're going back the same road on the same vehicle. Then we got back just fine. Thing is, when you're a pilgrim, you have to focus on lots of things. When you're a traveler, you just kind of kick it and whatever happens, happens. Amen? So I encourage you in closing, go forward, go upward, go from strength to strength. Be like the people you admire. Follow their example. Don't have that Western mindset, I think, therefore I am. Have the Hebrew mindset, the African mindset. We are, therefore I am. Even today, you see Jewish folks in our country. Now, listen, let a Jewish person open a business up. You know what's going to happen? Every Jewish person in the region will be there to patronize that business. Sometime, black folk open business up, folk just stand back like, what's going to happen to that? What you over there? What you doing up in there? What a discount, all that, yeah. Yeah, you know. So, see, I think therefore I am. It doesn't work too good with us because we aren't wired like that, see. We aren't wired like that. We have to be wired to what the Bible says, to what our ancestry has taught us. We got to connect to the values that are really a part of what God is using to help us. You're not going to be happy and joyful running around and not being a pilgrim for God. Amen? Let's all stand. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for your word today. Thank you for reminding us of, Lord, these principles, most of which we already know here among us today, but Lord, we need to be stirred up. As Paul said to Timothy, stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance, Lord. Thank you for reminding us, Lord, that we are pilgrims. We do pass through these valleys of tears, but then, Lord, by your grace, we make it a spring. The rain will cover it with pools. Lord, you will send help. Even though the help you send, we don't get to experience it sometimes.